are welcome to the Rohi Word. You are about to be transformed by the power of God's Word through His servant, Pastor Emmanuel Mephel. Pastor Mephel is a teaching evangelist who preaches God's Word passionately with signs and wonders following. He serves as the founder and lead pastor of the Rohi Church, a Christ-centered, family-focused, and discipleship-driven ministry. It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Now, let us hear the Word of God.
Amen. This is the confidence that we have. That song is spiritual, I'm telling you. And it's real. Amen. I said it's real. I see that God is going to reward somebody in the name of Jesus. You know, there are certain verses that you quote because it's in the Bible. There are certain things you say because people say it or you've heard it being said. But there are other verses that you quote or you say because you have seen it happen. Are you understanding me? I mean, if you have seen a woman give birth physically, when they tell you that it is possible for a baby to come out of a woman, you believe it because you have seen it. Are you understanding me? If you see a car knock somebody down and the person rises up and walks, when they tell you that it is possible, you believe it. You don't just think that, oh, maybe it is possible or something like that. There are certain verses like that in the Bible. When I read it, I feel that, okay, that's what the Bible says, it can happen. But there are other verses that when I read, I know it has happened because I have seen it. Are you understanding me? So when the Bible says that, and when a man finds a woman, a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing and obtains favor. I believe that scripture. I know it because I have seen it. I have seen it in my life. How God favored me when I found a wife. So, when I'm quoting those verses, they are verses that I quote with my life and my heart. And when I'm praying about it for people, I believe it. Unlike certain verses that you have not seen happening. So you pray by faith. But this one, I have seen it happen. So I don't even pray by faith. I pray by knowing. I speak it. I don't even pray it. I just declare it. I just say, it's like, do I have to call your name by faith? Pat. I just say Pat because that's your name. It is when I don't know you. Maybe her name is Pat. Then I'm by faith. I'm just trying. Let me see. Or Patricia. Or participate. But when you know, there are certain verses you know. You don't pray it. You declare it. Are you understanding me? Just like the way I would declare your name. You know, Valencia. I don't pray it. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray her name is Valencia. No, I know it. I know her name is Valencia. So I just declare it. I know her name is Pat. I declare it. I know he's William. I declare it. So there are certain verses and there are certain promises in the Bible that you don't even pray it if you know it. You just declare it. Like this verse that we're just singing. You understand? We know you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek your face. We know. It's not something that I am now speaking by faith. I'm not declaring it by faith. I am not talking by faith. I know. It's a complete fact. I know so well. I can show you examples. I can show you pictures. I can show you diagrams. I know you are a rewarder of them that diligently seek you. So I am not doubting. I am not suspecting. I am not suggesting. I am not conjecturing. I am not just telling you something. I am telling you what I know. There's a difference between something that you know and something that you believe. I know from my own personal life. I know. And from the friends that are around me, I can tell you that I know. There's a difference. I preached a message about the differences between them that serve God and those who don't serve God. There's a difference. I know. I don't believe it. I don't suspect it. I know in my inner knowing. I know it. I know it. I know it. I don't know how else to explain, but I know it. He's a rewarder. He's a rewarder. In the beginning, it may look like you are rewarding him. In the beginning, it may look like you are struggling. In the beginning, it may look like you are the one seeking. In the beginning, it may look like you are the one who must force and who must try. In the beginning, it always looks like you are doing God a favor. But I know you are a rewarder. He is not. I don't know God to be a taker. I don't know him to be the one who takes from us. I know him to be a rewarder. He gives this unto us. He is a rewarder of them that seek him diligently. There's a difference between seeking him and seeking him diligently. This one is just to exhort you that whatever you are going through today, whatever you have been going through the whole of the month, whatever you have gone through the whole of the year, what I want for you to understand is that if you can begin to seek him diligently, you would put yourself in the class of people that must be rewarded. You know, it is not every employee you reward. There are some employees you just pay salary. There are some employees you just give allowances. And there are some employees you pay bonuses. Those are the ones you are rewarding. They are the ones who go the extra mile. They are the ones who you pay their salary, you pay allowance, you pay bonus, and you want to even give them extra for doing the extra. They are the ones that you look at them and you say that, you know what, you are more than just an employee. You are more than just a staff. You are more than somebody who is just around me. You are like my own person. So instead of just giving you salary, bonus, and allowance, let me give you a portion of the business. It is a reward. So God rewards them that seek him diligently. Not them that just seek him. They are not the same. Employees are employees. But those who are diligent are different. If you want to just operate by salary from God, enjoy your salary. If you just want to operate by just allowances from God, enjoy your allowance. But me, Kweku Mefo, I don't like salary. I don't like allowance. I want partnership. I want partnership. When you become a partner to the thing that God is doing, when he is sharing dividends, he remembers you. And God's economy never goes down. I said God's economy never goes down. His economy is always rising. So my value always rises because his economy is always rising. I'll prefer to deal with God's economy that is always rising as a partner than to deal with God's economy as an employee. And partners operate differently from employees. Partners seek diligently. Partners work diligently. Partners don't work according to time. They don't work according to working hours. They don't work according to I'm tired. They don't get sick easily. They don't fail easily. They don't go and leave easily. We have too many Christians who are working like employees of God. They go on leave easily. They go on relaxation easily. I have sick leave, I'm gone. I have a stomach leave, I'm gone. I have whatever. Every leave, they take it. Their assignment to the church is independent. You cannot be dependent upon. Are you in the church? This is not the message I came to preach. I'm just exhorting you. I'll preach. I'm just exhorting you. I feel that the Lord is telling me to tell somebody that I am a rewarder. I am a rewarder. I am a rewarder. If anything has failed you, it wasn't God who failed you. You failed yourself. If your life hasn't gone the way you expected it, it's not because God failed you. You failed yourself. He does not fail anybody because the formula is clear. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Diligently. Diligently. Diligently means that tirelessly. Tirelessly. No stopping, no breaking, no hunger, no tiredness. We are just following. We are just looking. We are just tirelessly putting in effort with our money, with our energy, with our wisdom, with our connection, with everything. We are tirelessly, diligently seeking him. And those are the people that he rewards. And I see God rewarding you. No, he just told me to tell you this morning that he will reward. He is a rewarder. He will reward you. As long as you are diligently seeking, get ready for your reward. It shall come. I said it shall come. Let the people say anything they want to say. Let those who will laugh at you, laugh at you. Let those who think that you love church too much, laugh. Let those who think that you love church and God too much, let them think that way. A time is going to come. They will stand up and salute you and say that now we understand. Now we know. Now we understand. Now we know. Now we understand. Now we know. There was a time that people actually looked at me and thought that, you know what? He likes church too much. But now they understand. Now I don't even have to explain anything to them. They just know that, oh, now we understand. For he said, rewarder of they that diligently seek him. Put your hands together for the Lord. I'm just about to start preaching. That was a message for somebody else. You may take your seat. Genesis chapter 49 verse 27. Genesis 49, 27. Benjamin is a ravenous wolf. In the morning, he shall devour the prey, and at night, he shall divide the spoil. So a father about to die has called his sons. I see it happening to you in the name of Jesus. You will not die by accident. You will not die by mistake. You will not die an unplanned death. You will not die in the hospital. You will not say that I am going to work and come and you will die on the road. It shall not happen to you in the name of Jesus. I will not receive a phone call that you were going and something happened to you and you are not coming back. It shall not happen in the name of Jesus. Your husband will not receive a phone call or a text message that is this person your wife? Is this person your husband? That shall not be your story in the name of Jesus. Your parents will not receive a call from the hospital or from the roadside that we saw a wallet with this number in it. Do you relate to the person? And for me to say that yes, he's my relative, that shall not be your story in the name of Jesus. You shall grow, you shall live long, you shall live for a very long time. You will die when you are ready to die. You will die when you finish selling everything you have to sell, sharing everything you have to share, blessing everybody you have to bless, releasing everything you have to release before you go. You will not go carrying your blessings, you will go sharing the blessing in the name of Jesus. Say hallelujah. So Benjamin is a ravenous, so you may take your seat. The father is now blessing his children because he knew that his time had come. He was about to die. And that's how everybody must die. That is how everybody must die. And I'm praying that your death will not be different from that. And I'm praying that my death will not be different from that. You know, you will call your grandchildren, your children. You know, this person, is it Isaac I'm talking about? Isaac actually prayed for his grandchildren. He was so strong and alive to the point where even his grandchildren, he was praying for them. Are you understanding me? You must get to the point where you will not be somebody whose life is just for one generation. Your life is just for one generation. A generation is about 40, 50 years. Your life is 30 to 50 years. That's it. Your life has no more impact. It shall not be your story. Even when you are gone, after 10 years that you are gone, people will still remember you for the good things that you did. Your life will not end when you die. Generational living. Are you in the church? So Benjamin is a ravenous wolf. That's the blessing that was released on him. In the morning, so Jacob is blessing his children, right? Jacob is releasing the blessings. Jacob had already received a blessing. And now he's also about to die. And he's now sharing the blessing. That's how anybody and everybody must die. That's how you must die. You must die when you have called your children, their wives and their husbands and their children around your bed or around your living room. You sit on your throne. In your house, you must have a throne that is yours. You sit on it. If nobody gives you a throne in life, give yourself one in your house. Sit on it. Call them. My children, grandchildren, nieces and nephews, in-laws. I feel weak. I'm about to go. I have lived for about 120 years. I think it is time for me to go. I want to be with my father. I have served enough. I've tried enough. It's okay. Now I want to go. But before I go, I want to release these blessings on your life. You shall be like this. You shall be like this. You shall never go astray. You, your branches will go far. You, your children will be great. You release all the blessings. After that, then you tell them, you, take this house in this area. You are taking this house in Trasako. You are taking this house at Afienya. You are taking this house, the one you don't like so much. You are taking the house at, but what I'm saying is that you will share the blessing. You will share the blessing. You will share the property. You will share the houses. You will share the lands. You will share the businesses. You will share the cars. Then after that, you tell them that the land that I bought in Trasako or in East Legon or Komti 22 or Tulaku area or Zenu area, which I have walled and I have done my nice landscaping, that land, that is where I want you to bury me. You have done your tomb, you have done your grave, you have done everything. You are 120, 130. You have done everything. Your children shouldn't suffer. If you've paid for your funeral, you've paid for everything. Are you understanding me? That time when you die, your children will even clap for you. But there are certain people, when they're about to die, their children get angry. You shouldn't die now. Don't die now. That shall not be your story in Jesus' name. So take your seat. Benjamin is a ravenous wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil. Continue, 28. I have only a few minutes. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is what their father spoke to them, and he blessed them. He blessed each one according to his own blessing, according to his own blessing, according to the father's blessings, according to the blessing that was in the house the father shared. Now, last week I talked about day and night, and I began to talk about how you can conquer the day. I spoke about what the day means. So you can go to last week's messages. First service was a second, was a message. Second service was a different message. But it was the same theme that I ran across, but it was the continuation. You can go on the app, you get it. Facebook, you get it. Our new app is on it. Podcast, you'll have it. If you continue watching, what's it called? Top TV. One of these days, I'll preach that message. If you continue listening to Maranatha, one of these days, it will be there. If you continue listening to City FM, one of these days, I would preach there. One of these days, this message will be there. And from maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks' time, if you continue watching Green TV, I'll be on that screen as well. Hey! I said 2021, we are breaking limits. We are breaking limits. If I'm breaking, you are breaking. If the church is breaking, it means you are breaking. Hallelujah. So I said that in the morning, you must devour what God brings you, so that in the night, you have something to divide. If you don't devour anything in the morning, you have nothing to divide in the night. And in the morning, some of the things that God will bring you that you must devour is your education. He will bring you education. Devour it. Devour it. He brings you ministry. Devour it. He will bring you a business. Devour it. He will bring you your career. Devour it. Whatever God brings your way, aim at devouring it. And you devour like a ravenous wolf. A ravenous wolf is a wolf that is hungry. A wolf that is insatiable. A wolf that is diligently looking to satisfy himself. And that is how you must live your life. Don't live your life as if you don't understand what is happening. The devil is looking for you to kill you. That is what's about to happen. So you must live your life like somebody who knows. One of my friends sent me a message this morning. He said, your speed is determined by what is chasing you. Your speed in life is determined by what is chasing you. And like I said, if it is a rabbit that is chasing you, you don't run as fast as if it was a lion. And for some of us, we are running as if what is chasing us is a kwa kwa lobi, or is a rabbit, or is a turkey. Begin to run like the devil is after you, and devour what you must devour. So we talked about it, that if you must devour, because if you don't, there will be nothing to divide at night. And then we talked about what your morning is, your afternoon is, your evening is. It's all in the message. But I started talking about conquering the day. I said that, number one, if you want to conquer the day, or if you want to conquer your day, the first thing you do is you look for opportunities. If you want to conquer your day, if you want to overcome your day, if you want to take over your day so that in the night you have something to divide, number one, look out for opportunities. Don't walk around life with your eyes closed. The opportunities are everywhere. Everywhere you pass, opportunities day. Everywhere you pass, opportunities day. I told some people, I was saying just last week, I said that someone looks at you and says that your dress is nice. Then you say, oh, thank you. Then the person will say, where did you buy it? Oh, I bought it at this shop. It is only here. I bought it for 17 cedis. Why? Somebody just told you that I want to give you money. Instead of receiving the money, you are just saying, oh, I bought it here. It's 17 cedis. No. Me, I don't answer questions like that. I don't answer questions like that. It's very nice. Oh, you want some? You want some? Oh, if you give me this amount of money, I'll find some for you. I am not saying that this is how much I bought it. I said, if you give me this amount of money, I'll find some for you. So I'm not lying to you. I'm just doing business. Are you understanding me? I'm not lying to you. You didn't ask me the price of my shirt. You said it's very nice. I said, you like it. You said, yes. I said, if you give me 15 or 16 or 16 cedis, why would I buy something for 17 cedis and take 16 cedis? So by the time I'm talking to you, I've calculated my transport. How did you buy the shirt? Did you not go out before you saw it? Did you not pay for transportation? Are you not going to make a call or something before? Are you not even going to spend your time to walk to the place? All of those things, do you know that it is money? So I'm talking about opportunities. He looked out for opportunities. That's how he was able to devour the day. So he saw an opportunity that, hey, there's an opportunity to be blessed. My father wants to bless the family. My father wants to bless Esau. There's an opportunity for me to be blessed. It may cost me my life, but I want it. So he went in, he took advantage, and then he got it. Number two, I said that seek to be blessed. Don't seek to be rich, seek to be blessed. There are many people who are rich and not blessed. There are many people who are married and are not blessed. There are many businessmen who are not blessed. There are many ministries that are not blessed. Don't seek only to be rich. Don't seek only to be married. Don't seek only to have money. Don't seek only to buy a car. Seek to be a blessed rich man, a blessed pastor, a blessed wife, a blessed husband, a blessed child, a blessed person. Don't just be a person who has achieved something. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and has no sorrow. But I've seen people who have seen riches with a lot of sorrow because they were not blessed. I've seen a lot of people married but with a lot of sorrow because they were not blessed. But when the Lord blesses your marriage, he has blessed it. When the Lord blesses your business, he has blessed it. When the Lord blesses your car, he has blessed it. When the Lord blesses your life, you are blessed. So look for the blessing. Don't look for money. Look for the blessing. Search for the blessing. Go after the blessing. That was number two I shared with you. Number three, number four, number five, I want to share with you, and then I will release you to go. Number three, be guided by the words of your father. I'm talking about conquering your day. Conquering your day. Conquering your day. Be guided by the words of your father. Be guided. Be guided. The words of a father brings a lot of blessing. The words of a father is salvation. The words of a father is deliverance. The words of a father, a spiritual father, a foolish father, a confused father. You see, there's something that experience gives that even wisdom doesn't give. There's something that experience will give you that anointing will not give you. And there are fathers who are carrying the thing called experience in spite of the fact that they didn't go to school. There's something that experience, growing old and seeing life, can give you that education will never give you. That's the reason why it's important to have a father's voice or a fatherly voice in your life, because those are the people that can tell you one thing, one that will change your life. One. And so look for a father and hear a father's voice and live with a father's voice in your life. Let a father be around you who will speak. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Get a father to speak to you. So be somebody who is guided by the father's voice or your father's words. Let's look at Genesis 28:6. Genesis chapter 28 verse 6. Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob. He saw that the father had blessed Jacob, his brother, and sent him away to Paddan Aram. Note this name, Paddan Aram, to take himself a wife from there, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, or he gave him an instruction, saying, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. So the man who was not even blessed, or who missed out on the blessing, heard that the old man who released the blessing had added to the blessing an instruction that do not take a woman or a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Verse 7. So with every blessing, there's an instruction. With every blessing, there's an instruction. Like this morning, I said that he's a rewarder. He's not just a rewarder, but he rewards they that seek him diligently. There's an instruction. And that Jacob had obeyed his father and his mother and had gone to Paddan Aram. He was blessed and was given an instruction. And the guy is saying that my brother has obeyed. He has obeyed. He has done what the father said. He has taken the blessing. And then he has obeyed and done and gone to where the father went, told him to go. Jump to chapter 30 verse 43. Chapter 30 verse 43. I just want to show you the results of the obedience that he obeyed. Thus the man became exceedingly prosperous. This was after obeying the father and going to Paddan Aram. The man became exceedingly prosperous. Look, some of the things that I have done that has worked for me, it hasn't because I sat in a classroom. It was because I have surrounded myself with certain fathers that I see as fathers. From day one. And one of them is maybe 6 years, 7 years older than me, can never give birth to me. 7, 8 years older than me, can never give birth to me. Or even 10 years older than me, can never give birth to me. But you see, when it comes to spiritual things, it is not age related. That's the reason why people at the age of 61 can call the archbishop at the age of 63 their father. A few weeks ago, we went to a church, and then one man who was 65 was calling another man who was 60 years. He is my spiritual father. He said, he's my spiritual father. When it comes to the things of ministry and life, he is my father. Even though he's my younger brother, he's my father. I said, wow, I follow him everywhere. So what I'm just trying to get you to understand is that through my life, this verse has been so clear. We started the business, I found a father. We started the business, we went forward, I found a father. He was also doing the thing that I'm trying to do. So I said, this one will be my father. God said, follow him. I followed him. I followed him. I served him. I followed him everywhere. And whatever he was saying, I'm recording. Whatever he's saying, I'm recording. Whatever he's doing, I'm recording. How he's negotiating, I'm recording. He's negotiating on the phone, I'm recording. Not recording with my phone. I'm recording with my head. At a point, I needed someone to give me a letter, how to employ people. I said to him, do you have an appointment letter? He said, yes. I said, I need one. I need a sample. He gave it to me. I said, when you are paying salary, what do you do? He said, you use this. I said, give it to me. Because I didn't have. I said, so how do you do this? He showed me. I said, thank you. I'm going to do the same thing. He will tell you, Ima, don't do this. He was the one who told me that if you think that rich man is a thief, you will never be rich. If you think that rich man is a thief, you will never learn from him. I said, okay. So they are not thieves. I can learn from them. And when I needed someone's sample to use, it was the rich man, the first one that I thought was a thief, was the one whose sample I used. Are you here? I have seen the voice of fathers making a way for sons and daughters who have submitted themselves and have followed the words that have been spoken by spiritual people. So this guy obeyed his father. Thus the man became exceedingly prosperous and had large flocks, female and male servants, and camels and donkeys. Go to chapter 31, verse 18. 31, 18. I just want to show you the results. And he carried away all his livestock and all his possessions which he had gained, his acquired livestock which he had gained in where? Paddan Aram. Where did his father say he should go? Paddan Aram. His father said, go to Paddan Aram. Don't take a wife from anywhere. Go there. Don't take a wife here. Go there. Go and meet them and marry there and live there and do business there. He was a man. He was grown. He could have said that, you know what, you are old. You are growing old. Your eyes are even going. I have my own mind. I have my own mind. I have my own ideas. I want to live my own life. You have done yours. You know, if you did well, you'll not be sitting here asking us to bring you meat before you pray for us. Just relax. I'm going to do my own things. He would have messed up his life after the blessing, but he followed. And the Bible says that, and he carried away all his livestock, all his possessions, which he had gained, his acquired livestock, which he had gained in Paddan Aram. And the Bible is so strange how he would mention the Paddan Aram for us to know that this is where his father instructed him to go. If he had not gone there, he would not have seen the blessing. Many of us are struggling, not because we have been cursed. You are carrying the blessing, but you are not obeying the expectation of the blessing. The man released the blessing on the son and said, go to Paddan Aram. Go to Paddan Aram. We release the blessing and we'll tell you that seek him diligently. We release the blessing. We'll tell you that go and fast. We release the blessing. We'll tell you that sow a seed. We release the blessing. We'll tell you that disengage from this, your friend. He's not taking you anywhere. But our disobedience to the voice of fathers, disobedience to the voice of parents, disobedience to the voice of spiritual people causes us to fail. And we begin to think that hasn't God blessed us? God has blessed you, but every blessing that God decreed decrees or declares on your life comes with a responsibility. Your irresponsibility is what is creating your problems. It's not God's curse. It is God's blessing that's on your life, but you are too irresponsible to acquire the blessing. This man was so responsible and responsive and obedient to the voice of the father, to the extent that at his age, the father said, "Don't marry this woman." He said, "Yes, sir. I'm going to Paddan Aram. I don't know who I'm going to meet. I know that what you have said is true. I am going there. I am not sure what will befall me. I'm not sure how my life is going to be, but as I go, I am believing you that what you have spoken will come to pass." And he went, and by the grace of God and the direction of his father, he acquired the livestock. He acquired blessing. He met an uncle who swindled him several times. Look, if you are operating in the voice of the father, you will be swindled sometimes. You will be swerved sometimes. Mistakes will happen sometimes. Things may not always go the way you expected. But at the end, you will carry away your livestock. You will carry away your possessions which you have gained. You will carry your acquired livestock. And you will walk back to where you came from with all the blessing. To go to his father Isaac in the land of Canaan. He went to carry it and he was returning. Just by obedience. Just by obedience. Just by obedience. Learn how not to fight instructions all the time. I'm not just talking about me as your pastor or spiritual father. No, there are other physical fathers in your life that you must even learn from, apart from the spiritual instructions that you have. Look, it's not everybody I can even be talking to, but some of you, you must even just look at my life. Sometimes you must just look at the life of your mother. Sometimes you don't have to even talk to them. Just watch. My spiritual father lives in Bogatanga. The other one is on the mountaintop. How often can I hear their voice? How often can I talk to them directly? I hear them preaching, and whatever they are saying in their preaching is an advice to me. It's a condemnation to me. It's a request from me. It is something that they are saying. When the man is preaching and he says that I need money, I know it is a request to me. When he's preaching and he says that I want somebody to do A, B, and C, I know it is a request from my father to me. I don't need to sit with him for him to tell me that, "My son, I need this," before I respond. There are times that they just speak and I know what they are saying. When will you begin to know what your spiritual father is saying and then obey for the blessing? I'm not saying that come and bless me. No, God has blessed me enough. What I'm telling you is for your own good. Anytime we talk about listening and being guided by the voice of a father, you think that, hey, pastor, the pastor wants to be respected. No, I have enough respect. I have enough respect. If you even disrespect me, it doesn't bother me. You didn't call me to this job. The person who called me is the one who will respect me. Are you understanding me? You are not the rewarder. God is the rewarder. God is too wise to make you my rewarder. Because eya nipa chimye ding. It is a yes onyami sra okra. Ube reward him. It is very difficult for you. I had a call from Peaceland to from a person I've never preached to. Somebody I've never spoken to before. He said he wants to book an appointment to come and see me. What are you coming to see me for? I want to come and bless you with money. Are you understanding me? I'm just saying it for you to understand that you are not my rewarder. But somebody from Peaceland, whom I've never spoken to before, is the one that God has touched that, oh, go and give him money. I don't know what money he's bringing, but he has said it. Even if it doesn't come, I've been encouraged by God that I am your rewarder. Are you understanding me? So what I'm just trying to get you to understand is that I am not preaching a message for you to be overwhelmed or overawed and feel that pastor wants us to hear his voice. My voice, if you hear it, is for your own good. If you don't hear it too, it's for your own good. When I listen to my pastor and he speaks and I do it, it's for my own good. When I hear my spiritual father or my business father or my whatever father, he speaks and I listen, it's for my own good. It's not for his good. He has too many people who are listening to him and doing it and are being blessed. Why should he be bothered? No, you must be bothered. And he carried away all his livestock. What I'm telling you is that have a guide in your life. Don't just live your life. I'm an adult. I should be able to do whatever I want to do. Do whatever you want to. Nobody is saying that is wrong. But bear the consequences as well. You are an adult, yes. Be guided by your father's words. Be guided. Be guided. Be guided. Be guided. Be guided. If you don't have a guide or a father guiding you, find one. Find one. Find one. Find one. Find one. You are too proud, too big-headed. Walking around as if I know it all. Meanwhile, baby, I'll be for now. Do you tell about that pine? Wherever you turn, you hit the wall. Look for somebody who has broken through. Look for someone who has broken through. A few days ago, I sent a message to one of my fathers. I said, I want to book an appointment to come and see you. I just want to come and see you. I have nothing in mind. I have nothing in mind. I don't have any plan. I don't have any discussion. I don't have anything in mind. I'm just going to say hello to him. This is Christmas. Christmas is coming. I'm just coming to say Merry Christmas. And then if I have to bless you, I find my small blessing I have. Bless him. Just pray a prayer. Or tell me something that you think I should know. One day I was listening to my father. And then he said, I have stopped building galleries in my churches. I said, eh? You have stopped building galleries? Now that me, I'm doing gallery. You have done the ministry for almost 40 years. You have stopped building galleries. Why? He said, because 80% of the time, galleries are empty. I started looking. You know the gallery? The gallery is when they build a church and they put a place here for people to sit up here. People to sit up here. People to sit up here. He says most of the time, 80%, 90% of the time, those places are empty. So I said, okay, let me check churches which have galleries. I look, empty. The floor is full. Empty, empty, empty. I checked. It was empty. I said, wow. I was going to push these church members to find money. We are going to hustle to cast the top there and go up and do this. No. I said, oh man, thank you very much for this message. It came too late. I started already, but I'll make amends. All because one word that my father spoke. I said, Kai. I said, but we did this so that we have conferences. Then I asked myself, how many times do you have conferences? Why would I spend money to do something like this when it will be used once a year? It'd be wisdom. So my father had to just speak once, and I heard it. My mother, when I was starting my first house, said that, you know what? Don't do a big foundation. What's the size of the house you want to build? I said, 5 bedrooms. She said, do you have the money? I said, no. She said, don't do 5-bedroom foundation. Do one. I said, oh. But this woman, has she built before? Her house is not that big. Has she even? She said, just do foundation for one. Move in. When you move in, you do the rest. I said, okay. Mimi, let's gather the small we have. Foundation. We did it. 1.5 rooms, kitchen and hall. As we were doing it, my pastor came around. He said, ah, why are you doing this one? I said, I'm doing a bathroom so that the 2 rooms will share it. He said, no. Put a wall here. This bathroom will serve this room. This bathroom and toilet will serve this room. So that you have, every room has its own. I said, ah, how come I'll see? I was building the thing, but I didn't see that it can work like that. He said, oh, that's how it is. My father came to just stand there one day. Do it this way, do it this way, that's all. So my mother gave me the foundation. My spiritual father walked in there 30 minutes. He said, do it this way. He left. That house, I did it sweatlessly, and it looked nice. Are you understand what I'm saying? It takes a lot of fire from your head when you listen and are guided by the voice of a father. I am talking about how to conquer your day. The man has lived 40 years, 50 years, 60 years. He has lived about 30 years older than you. He has lived 10 years ahead of you. He has seen the things that people see when they are 50. You are only 30. Why don't you take his 20 years experience one day? Bishop Doug had been building churches. He's built over 600 churches. I'm not talking about church congregation buildings. His experience of 30 years. And he's preaching and he mentions that, I will not do this again. And he said, no. He doesn't have revelation. Me, I'll try it. You are an F-O-O-L. I can't mention it in church. I will try. That's for me, I'll try it. That is why you are marking time. That's why you are marking time. Because I want to do my own thing. I want to do it my own way. I want to do it my own style. I want to do it my own style. Are you in the church? I'm talking about conquering. If you are not guided by the voice of a father, you can't conquer your day. You must conquer your day. You must conquer the day so that in the night you would have something to share. Ravenous wolf. They devour in the day and they divide in the night. What are you devouring? Let your father's voice guide you to devour something. Let your father's voice guide you. I remember when I started the business, my father's voice told me that, a lot of voices told me that this kind of business is very difficult. People don't pay. I went to see him. He said, go ahead. I said, why? He said, do you know that this is how you can attract God's attention? I said, I don't know. He said, God rewards faith. And every businessman is a man of faith. Because when you step out, you don't know where money is coming from. You don't know how you survive. But you are moving according to the faith that you have. And that is what God responds to. I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this word. I stepped out in faith. And all the people who were saying that this business cannot work, this business is difficult, now they are looking for me. They said, you know what? Can we partner in the business? Can we? I said, you can take share. Don't take partner. You can take share. Don't tell. Now they are stealing my letter. They are stealing my letterhead. They are stealing my advertisement. They are stealing everything. But their business is collapsing and our business is still standing because the foundation is by faith. Just because a father spoke. Just because a father spoke with their own namwana. Everything I know. I know how to deal. I know how. I will handle it myself. You handle it yourself. Have you not seen how you have mishandled and mismanaged your life? Have you not seen how your two known has mismanaged, mishandled, misappropriated your life? You just open your mouth and talk anyhow to your husband. And your mother stands here. You hear your mother. Anytime she's talking to me, she says, "My Lord, my Lord, my Lord." As for you, you have decided that, "Me, this is my Lord, me to me. Oh yeah, akwesi." Continue akwesiing him. Obekwesi swa till he dies. So somebody heard "my Lord" and also say, "I like it, so I'm going to use my king." So she also calls her husband "my king." Obiso onim nyan santi. Akwesi papa. Ata papa wa ifa. Kurasini. Villager. Obiso friendi kunu. Kobi. 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 Umbaza in kolano year off. Unye kurasini. Obiso. Baby. Baby. Why would he not baby around? Oh, baby. 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 Come and look at the children. So who should take care of who? Is the children thinking of the baby or babies taking care of children? Baby. Baby. What is baby? That's why the man is always because you have made him baby, baby, obesunga, nga, nga, and you are following this man. You will not make a lot of progress following a baby. When my wife started calling me my Lord, I didn't have a bicycle. She just started calling me. In fact, when she started, I thought she was joking. One day, maybe now, my Lord, I said, "Mimi, stop that, stop that, stop that. I don't like people making fun at me. Stop it." "What do you mean, my Lord?" "I inquire and fatami me. Now, the honor, my Lord, my Lord." I said, "Stop that." The woman kept calling, "my Lord." I said, "Mimi, Charlie, this Lord, Lord thing, you are putting me under pressure. I don't like it. Just, you know, if you like, call me Joshua Papa or something. Just, you know, just this, my Lord. This, my Lord, is stressful. My Lord, my Lord. Then, my Lord. Then, my Lord. Where is this one? Where is this, my Lord, coming from? Where is this, my Lord, coming from? Then, my Lord, my Lord." She has called me my Lord, and my mother-in-law calls me my Lord. My Lord, woho. She are my Lord, mommy, why? Even my her siblings, they call me my Lord. My Lord, is my Lord there? How is my Lord? You know, but what I'm saying is that it is by the declaration of my wife who kept saying, "my Lord, my Lord, my Lord," that a bicycle owner now became a motorbike owner. My Lord, my Lord. Then he became a Buzanga car owner. Then my Lord, my Lord. Then he became a proper car owner. My Lord, now he's becoming my Lord proper, proper. Are you understanding me? What I am saying is that when you see your mother or your father doing something that is being prospered, that is working, don't do your mouth like a baby pig and say that, "I don't care. How did your mouth become this way?" You too, you go grow, you go see him. That's what the mother told the child. You go grow, you go see him. Don't wait to grow to see him. Look at the thing. Copy it. Copy it. Copy it. One thing I've seen my father doing all the time that I want to copy, but I'm struggling, is how he opens the car for his wife. I'll get there one day. I said I'll get there one day. Because I see Reverend Eastwood every time he will come out of the car, come and open the car for mommy to step out. Then, when they are coming, if you try to open the car, he'll come and open it himself. Mommy will sit down. Then he'll sit down. I said, "This one, it's another grace." Because me, I sit down before my wife. She talks so much with everybody that I will sit in the car and wait for her. So maybe I should be waiting in the car. Then when I see her coming, I'll get down and come and do it. But what I'm just saying is that a father's voice must guide you. A mother's voice must guide you. Don't live your life fatherless, motherless, walking around without any guide, without any help, without any support, without anybody talking into your ears, or getting only useless voices in your life. Some of you too, you open yourself and useless voices are talking to you. People who have not seen anything, have not achieved anything, have not even done quiet time. They get up and they start talking to you. That's when you get offended with church, get offended with pastor. Even today, as you are going, one of these devils would call you. When he was talking, why didn't you see that it was you he was talking about? Have I mentioned your name? Have I mentioned your name? Look, I have two more that I wanted to share with you. Be God conscious and be the reason for someone's blessing. Actually, a third one. So there are three I'll share with you, and then I will finish this series. God bless you.
Thank Thank you for listening to Pastor Emmanuel Methel. We hope you were blessed by the message. Worship with us at the Rohi Church in Community 22, Tema. Every Sunday from 7:30 to 9:30 for the tree service and 10:30 to 12:30 for the English service. We have Bible studies from 9:45 to 10:30 a.m. Tuesday Empowerment Service is from 6:30 to 8 o'clock p.m. Download the Rohi Church app on Google Play and App Store for more life-transforming messages. Follow Pastor Emmanuel Methel and the Rohi Church on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Call us on 0204-336-002 for counseling and inquiries. Rohi Church, loving God, making disciples, and invading globally. God bless you. This message is brought to you by Hot Jobs Africa Limited, Ghana's number one HR firm. Looking for quality staff? Looking for a job? Contact us on 0204-336-009. Think HR, think Hot Jobs Africa.